Bibles this morning to the book of James. The book of James chapter 1. Book of James chapter 1. And if you don't mind, if you do mind, do it anyhow. Let's all stand and show respect to the reading of the Word of God. James chapter 1. And let's begin at the verse 18. It says, "Of His own will begat He us." Everybody say, "Begat He us." I want to say that one more. Let's do that again. "Begat He us." It's important that you remember that. "With the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let us every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this gathering of people that you've given us today. We are indeed thankful for everyone that's here. Father, as we go now into the breaking of the bread of life, Father, as we teach your word, we pray for the power of the Spirit to be in the service. Father, I acknowledge that I'm helpless to do anything. I pray that you'd help me remember. I pray that you'd bring things to mind. I pray that you'd be with the attention of the people. And I pray that they would be spoken to deep down in their heart. Help us today, Lord, to learn your word and be faithful to your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Now, the focus of this text, if you'd look in the text, five different times it talks about the Word of God. If you'll notice in verse 18, "Of His own will He begat us with the," see where it says "the Word of truth"? That's one time it's mentioned. It's mentioned down in verse 21 where it's called "the engrafted Word." Then in verse 22 you got the Word. Verse 23 you got the Word. And then in verse 25 you got the law of liberty, which is the Word. So five different places in this section, it refers to the Word of God. So what's the subject of the section? The subject of the section is the Word of God. I'm going to title this message today, "Three Lessons About the Word." Three lessons about the Word that I believe that this text teaches. Certainly I cannot exhaust this text, and certainly each one of these lessons is a sermon in and of itself, but I'm just going to hit on the lesson, and then I'm going to move forward. So I want you to see how important the Word of God is. 3 points I'm going to give you. Number one, the first lesson is going to be, is our new birth comes through the Word. Our new birth will be the first point. Number two, our attitude towards the Word. And write down our attitude if you want a little short way of remembering the outline. The text shows you what your attitude towards the Word of God should be whenever you hear it. Our new birth comes through the Word, our attitude towards the Word, and then number three, our duty to the Word. So those are three lessons I'm going to give you this morning. And again, each one's a sermon, but I'm going to mix it all, put it all in one shot. Now let's first of all look at our first point. Our first lesson about the Word is that our new birth, comes through the Word. Aren't you thankful today? If you're here today and saved, you're saved because you were born again. There's a new birth that happens in someone whenever that they're saved. I'm so thankful to the good Lord that there was a time in my life when, what's it say in the verse, "He begat He us." You know who deserves the glory for the new birth? Does anybody in the house know who deserves the glory for that? God does. You didn't bring about your new birth. God's the one that brought that about. And people's got that completely. Too many folks take credit for their new birth, and I'm sorry, but you don't deserve the credit for it. God deserves the credit for it. It says, of His own will, begat He us. You see that word, begat He us? Does that sound familiar to you? That means He birthed you. You ever read that great text in Matthew 1 that when you're reading through the Bible, a lot of times you'll go to Matthew 1 and you'll go, I'm going to skip over that one. So-and-so begat so-and-so, Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. Isaac begat Jacob. Now, when Jacob was born, he didn't strut around and say, boy, I'm glad I birthed myself. Jacob didn't have anything to do with his birth. Does everybody in the house agree with that? Isaac is the one that birthed Jacob. Abraham is the one that birthed Isaac. They didn't beget themselves. Do you know how much you had to do with your physical birth? Now, this is deep, ain't it? Do you know how much you had to do with your physical birth? Nothing. You were begotten. You didn't have anything to do with it. I'm going to bring it on down further, though. He uses this word begat here, not talking about a physical birth. He uses this word begat talking about your spiritual birth, your new birth, your being born again. He's the one that did it. He's the one that brought your new birth to pass. That's why He begat us. Let's go ahead and turn to the Gospel of John chapter 1 and give you a verse that goes with that. You say, well, Jeff, why are you even mentioning that? Because He deserves the glory for your new birth. That's why I mention it. I don't go around bragging on about the day I made myself born again. I brag on my God who made me alive and quickened me. And He's the one that brought about your new birth. He's the one. You say, well, now, Pastor, I received Jesus. Well, I did too. And you say, well, Pastor, I believed on Jesus. I did too. But you know the reason why I did that? Well, the reason why I did that is because I was smarter than everybody else. That ain't the reason why I did it. The reason why I believed on Him is because He begat me. The new birth is what brought about faith in my heart. That's what it says here. It's not because you're brighter than everybody else. Man, if it wasn't for the new birth, folks, I'd still be in my sin. If it wasn't for the new birth, I'd still be serving the world. The new birth is what makes you to differ, all God's people said. Very important you see that. And who deserves the glory for it? God does. And that's the reason why I'm telling you this morning this. It's very important. Does not James 1 say He begat us? He begat us. You didn't begat Him. He begat you. Now here in John chapter 1, it says, verse 12, as many as received Him. Now is that what you do when you get saved? Well, you sure do. You receive Him as your Savior. That's the most important thing that you've ever done. Now, there's a lot of people here today, and I'm thankful for that. But some of you know about Jesus, and you know He died on Calvary. You've heard it, and you know that you need to be saved, but you've not received Him. You see the difference? You have to receive Him. It's like if you have some type of dreaded disease, and I have a cure for what's making you sick and what's killing you, and I say, here's a cure. Just knowing the cure is going to make you whole don't make you whole. You got to receive it. Now, there needs to be a time in your life when you receive the Messiah, when you trust Jesus. More than know about Him, but receive Him. Folks, I'm happy today that I've received Him as my Savior. It's Jesus that saved my soul, and I've received Him. The greatest sin, I think, is to reject the Messiah. The greatest sin is to reject Him. You don't realize how awful it is to hear about Jesus and then to say, nope. It's basically the same as rejecting Him as the Jews did when He was brought out before them when He was put on trial. We will not have this man to rule over us. And that's basically the attitude that you're taking. When you don't want Jesus, you're saying, well, I don't want Him to rule over me. I don't want His kingdom. I don't want Him. So rejecting Jesus is a big deal. Well, I've received Him. Have you received Him today? Have you received Him as your Savior? As many as receive Him, to them give He power or authority to become the sons or the children of God. Even to them that do what? Believe on His name. So I've received Him, and I've done what else? I believed on him. Now, the word believe means you trust in him. More than believing he existed, that's a fact of history. More than believing there was a God, you have to trust. That's what the word believe means. You have to trust Jesus as your Savior. You don't know how many Americans they are out there that think they're okay because they believe in God. It's more than believing that there's a God. You've got to receive Christ's sacrificial death and resurrection from the dead as a means of saving you from your sin. You have to trust that. That has to be what you receive. That has to be what you trust in. Now, let me ask you a question. When you believed, is that what brought about the new birth? Don't answer me. When you believed, is that what brought about your new birth? Or did your new birth bring about you believing? Well, let's let the text tell us. Notice what it says in verse 12. To them that believe on his name, which were born. See, the reason why you believe on his name is because you were born. Not physically born, certainly that was so, but spiritually born. The new birth is what brings about you believing and receiving Jesus, but the new birth happens first. It's what I want you to see. He beget you. What it says. Notice what else he says. Which were born. That's the new birth, not of blood. You didn't inherit your new birth from your parents. I mean, because your parents saved is not necessarily going to mean that you're going to be saved. Now, Christian parents is going to train you. But your Christian parents can't bring about a new birth in you. They can tell you about how to be saved. They encourage you to be saved. They can tell you about Jesus. But they can't bring about the new birth themselves. So that's what it means when it says, which were born not of blood. It means you don't inherit through the bloodline. Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh. You know what the will of your flesh is? The will of your flesh is to sin because you're a sinner by nature. The book of Romans chapter 3 says there's no man that seeks after God. If it wasn't for God moving in our heart in the new birth, we would still be in our sin. Now, that should humble you. Because the reason why you're sitting there saved today is because of God. Because of His new birth. And if it wasn't for that, you'd still be in your sin, wanting to sin, living in sin, willingly. Not because anybody's forcing you to, but because that's your nature. Oh, God's people said. I'm just reading the Scriptures and explaining them to you. This is what it says. It's not a new birth, not of blood. Nor is it the will of the flesh, nor is it the will of man, but of God. Well, when you're going home this morning, if you don't get nothing out of this message, you can thank God if you're saved for your new birth. Thank God for the new birth. When that happened in you, essentially the same thing as quickening, essentially. He made you alive. You were dead and He made you alive. He quickened you. He brought about your new birth. And then you responded in what? Faith and receiving Jesus. But the new birth was first. He's the one that done it. He's the one that brought it about. All right, let's go back to our text in James. Boy, I'd like to preach the whole message on the new birth, but remember, I'm going to give you three lessons out of the text today. But I love to talk about the new birth, but I'm pretty hard on what I just said. The reason why I stress the fact that He beget you is because we need to give Him the glory for the new birth and not yourself. Everybody got me? The book of Corinthians says, who made you to differ from another? Does anybody in the house want to answer that? Who made you to differ from another? God did. Give Him the glory He deserves for that. That's why I preach this today. We're looking at three lessons. Number one, the first lesson is our new birth. Our new birth. Now, notice what else it says about the new birth. It comes through the Word, too. Of His own will beget He us with the Word of truth. You know what the Word of truth is? It's the Gospel. Ephesians chapter 1 in verses 13 and 14. He talks about how we've received the Word, and he calls it the Word of truth. Let's go ahead and turn there so I can quote it. No, I'm sorry if I could quote it. I wouldn't turn to it. But let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and then I'll give you that verse that goes with it. The Word of truth in particularly is the Gospel. Ephesians chapter 1. And let's notice what it says in verse 13. Watch for the Word of truth and then watch for the Word after it. Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the Word of the truth. Everybody see it? Ephesians 1:13. after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel. Everybody see? The word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now, so the word of truth is talking in particularly about the gospel message. What's the gospel message? It's a message of salvation. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that receives it. That's what the word of truth is. Go back to our text in James 1. We're looking at the new birth. We're looking at lessons about the new birth. He's the one that brought it about. But he also saves, it goes on to say, with the word of truth. There's two essential elements when you have a new birth. You know what the two essential elements are? Number one, the power of the Spirit. You're born of the Holy Spirit. Gospel of John chapter 3. You're born of the Spirit. And the other essential element is the what else? The Word of God, in particularly the Gospel. What the Holy Spirit does is He takes, you know, to have a physical birth, you have to have seed, do you not? But to have a new birth, you also have to have seed. But the seed of the new birth is the Word of God, in particularly the Gospel message. That's what produces a birth. Is that what produces a physical birth? A seed is planted and a physical birth happens. A new birth is the same way, except the seed is the gospel and the Holy Spirit implants it in your heart. He's the one that does it. Just turn and look at 1 Peter chapter 1. You say, oh, you're turning so much. You ought to thank God for that.
Amen.
You ought to thank God for that. And write what I'm saying down and check it out and see whether it's so. And if it's not so, don't believe it. Notice what it says in verse 23, being born again. Being born again. Verse 23, 1 Peter 1. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. My physical birth was corruptible seed. I inherited a sinful nature from my father who inherited a sinful nature from his father all the way back. That's corruptible seed. And my body is corrupting. I'm not as stout as I once was. I'm not as quick in my mind as I once was. It's a corruptible body. It's getting old. It's corrupting. Still has sin in it, too. I hate that. I wished I was perfect, don't you? That's the soul desire. That new birth puts that in you. It puts a desire for you to want to live right and do right because you love the one that made you alive. See what I mean? This is a corruptible body. And I inherit that because I come from corruptible seed. Everybody see it? But we're born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. See, the seed of the new birth is the word of God. And it produces an incorruptible seed. My new birth lasts forever. It's not corrupted. My new birth is forever. You don't make yourself unborn. You might not like your life. I pray that you do. If you're saved, you should. But you can't unborn yourself, can you? You can't unborn yourself spiritually. The Lord born you again. He's the one that begets you. And He uses the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that makes you alive. And the seed of that new birth is the Holy Spirit. And He implants that in your heart. Now, folks, that's why we spread the word. People call him, Jeff, you're a hard shell. No, I'm not. I believe in spreading the gospel. Not no hard shell. People have called me that for years. Not no hard shell. I believe you can know in this life whether you're saved or not. I believe the Bible teaches you need to make your election and your calling sure. I believe the Bible says you're to examine yourself and make sure you're saved. You can know you're saved. And you must know. But I believe in spreading the gospel. Because that's what the Lord uses in conjunction with the power of the Holy Spirit to bring about the new birth. He saves through the foolishness of preaching, 1 Corinthians. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. If He's going to save one of His people, He makes sure He gets the gospel to them. And there's somebody going to bring the gospel to them. No, ain't no hard shell. If everybody call me that, just give them a number and have them call me and I'll explain why I'm not. We spread the gospel. That's why you have a radio broadcast. That's why you exhort your people to get the message out there. Man, we need to be concerned. When a church loses vision of the salvation of the sinner, and it'll cease to exist. I want to see people saved. I want to try to reach those that are lost. We need to pray for open doors for that every day of our life. If I'd asked you a question, I ain't going to ask for a show of hands ever again last time I went home depressed. I really did. I'm never going to do that again. But it's so important, folks. It's so important that we as a church, as individuals and family members, seek to work our fields to get the gospel out there to those that are lost. Elizabeth grew not from sermon audio. Elizabeth grew from the people working their fields, where they work at, where they go to school at, their families, and bringing people in. Sermon audio was a result of the growth. And now we're able to reach further. The broadcast was a result of the growth. So we're seeking to... But man, we can't depend on those two avenues to reach the lost. And if that's what you're depending on, you need to get up and start praying and work your field again. You want to see people saved. So the new birth comes through the Word. And then what it says... And let's go back to our text in the book of James, chapter 1. Of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth, that we would be the first fruits of His creatures. You know, the first fruits in the Old Testament was that which was dedicated to God and belonged to the Lord. We're the first fruits of the creation. We belong to Him. And He brought about your new birth, and He done it in conjunction with the Word. All right, now let's move down to the next lesson that we want to give you. Everybody got the first one? The new birth comes through the Word. That's what I wanted you to see. God's the one that brought it about. The first lesson this morning was our new birth. That's when we showed those two aspects of it. Number two, let's go ahead and come on to our next lesson, and let's talk about our attitude towards the Word. You need to have a submissive attitude towards the Word of God. And I believe that these principles that are given in this text is true. Notice what it says in verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to what else? Slow to wrath. Now, this is generally a good principle for everything. Do you agree? It's a good way to live your life. But what's the context? What are we talking about in the context? We're talking about what? Talking about the Word. I've showed you five times in this section that I read to you, five times it's talking about the Word. Number two lesson, I want to show you what our attitude is to be toward the Word. Number one, we're to be swift to want to hear it. Do you agree? You know, when I had a new birth, I believe I had a new... When I was saved, I believe, one of the differences that I noticed in me was that I wanted to hear the Word. That's something that, Brother Sean, that I noticed. Man, I used to sit here in this church, and the preacher would preach, and I would be good preachers. There wasn't nothing wrong with the preachers. Everybody likes to blame the preacher, but a lot of times it's just the hearer's fault. And I'd sit back here in the congregation like this. Now, you know what? They could have come up here and entertained me, and I might have listened, but I wouldn't have gotten nothing out of it. To compensate for that attitude I just showed you, if churches have started entertaining people and pushed out the Word. You don't need to push out the Word. You need to preach the Word and let the Holy Spirit change that person to where the Word of God will be special to them. Because that's what happens when you've had a new birth, is you want to be... Hey, I can remember not being able to stand coming to church. And if I had my druthers, I'd have stayed at the house. But I can remember when all that changed. And I can remember not waiting until the next service come around, Wednesday. And if I had it every day, it would have been just fine for me. And I was 15, 14 years old. See what happened? New birth. I began to be swift to hear. I couldn't wait to come and hear it. Everybody see what I'm saying? Swift to want to hear the Word. It bothers me when I see people that claim a new birth that don't have no desire for the Word. Want something else. Want something different. What could you want any more than the Word? Everything in a church keys after the Word. New birth comes through the Word. Growth comes by the Word. Does it not? Desire the milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. How you get assurance that you're saved? The Word. Where do you get comfort at? The Word. Do I need to go on? The Word is the key. The Holy Spirit works through the book that He authored. You need to be swift to want to hear it. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 talks about the Bereans. It says they received the word with all readiness of mind. They had a desire to hear it. They're swift to want to hear the word. And attentive to whenever they heard it preached. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2 says to desire the sincere milk of the word. You know that word desire is an intense desire. And it says as a newborn babe. You know a newborn babe loves milk. I remember my sons were little, and they'd whine around and drive me nuts crying, wanting milk. I handled that, I just stuck a bottle in their mouth every time they cried. Isn't that good? No, that wasn't the way to do it, Debbie told me. She said, you don't do that. Well, they're crying, they're hungry. No, they're spoiled because of you. And now every time they cry, you're going to give them something to eat. They had an intense hunger for it, is the point. An intense hunger for it. Let's throw all pretenses out. Do you hunger for this? And is it intense? And if you have an intense hunger, that makes you want to be swift to hear it. Now, if you don't, I'm going to tell you about this. This ain't deep. When I go to the doctor and I don't feel good, and one of the things they ask you, you know what they ask you about? They ask you about your appetite. And I say, well, Doc, I ain't had no appetite. And he said, well, you know, Jeff, that's a sign something's wrong there somewhere. You know, when a person doesn't hunger physically, that's a sign that they're sick. Do you agree? That's one of the first, you know, they check, try to find out what, no, Doc, I ain't had an appetite for 6 months. We'd worry about that, wouldn't we? If you don't have an appetite for this, there's something wrong there somewhere. Now, you either out of fellowship with the Lord or something ain't right. When you lose your hunger for this book, that's a sign you're sick. There needs to be a hunger for this thing. You know why the Lord established the church? Not only did He establish the church to spread the gospel and administer the ordinances, but He established the church to be a teaching center. It's a place where you can come and hear the Word. You know what a pastor is called? He's called a pastor teacher. In the qualifications of a pastor, he needs to be apt to teach. Teach what? You best know it because this is what the Holy Spirit uses. You need to be swift to hear it. Not only swift to come and hear it, but you need to be swift to want to read it. Everybody in the house knows they need to read it. That's what I had everybody raise their hand over. I was talking about how great we've had to have the Scriptures, remember? That's just been a month ago. How great it is to have the Scriptures. And when we go to heaven, remember the illustration? We go to heaven, remember... maybe coming into contact with some of them old Jews up there, the new Christ, and them saying, well, you had the whole book? Man, we just keep little pieces of it with us and memorize it. And it was so special to us. And they'd say, you had the whole book? I bet you never got out of it. And everybody just said, amen. And I said, everybody in the house knows we need to read the Bible, don't we? Yay, man. Now, how many of you read it every day this past week? That was on a Wednesday. I don't know real good with percentages. About 10% of the people raise their hand. That's not doing. That's knowing and not doing. And if you have a hunger for it, you'll read it. If you don't have a hunger for it, then you won't. Swift to hear. Number two, slow to speak. I got to move. Slow to speak. Now, the reason why you need to be slow to speak is you need to check out what the man says first. Don't be so quick. He's speaking good or bad. You need to check things out first. That's what I want you to do. The Bereans not only received the word with all readiness of mind, but they searched the Scriptures to see whether these things were so. The authority is the Scriptures, not Jeff Arthur. You need to search the Scriptures to see whether things are so. So you need to be slow to speak. You don't need to be real quick to say bad things about something I teach either. You better check out what I'm saying because you may be saying something against the Word. Because I want to tell you something. I do everything in my power with the grace that Almighty God gives me to make sure that what I do is rightly dividing the Word of truth. And I take it more serious than any other thing that I do. I want to be right in what I say. But it behooves you to check out what I'm saying. So don't be real quick. Be slow. Slow to speak. Check it out. Notice what else it says. Slow to wrath. Everybody see that? You ever seen anybody get mad? You know how many times people's got mad at me in 29 years? Ever something I preached? Yeah, I've got mad over hearing somebody preach before. Man, my poor old pastor, he preached a doctrine. You can probably figure out what it is, but he preached a doctrine. And I said, there ain't no way in this world that's true. I don't believe that. That's wrong. Ain't no way. I don't know what's got into him. I come walking up that aisle after church, her face was red, Bible in my hand, ready to quarrel. He just went like, No, I'm not gonna engage you, Brother Jeff. He was real calm. I was mad. I wanted a quarrel. He wouldn't do it. He said, I'm going to ask you to do one thing. See, I was angry. You can't convince anybody that is angry of anything. I don't know why you waste your time trying to do it. If they're angry, that just closes things down. I don't know why they can't see it. They're angry. That's called being closed-minded, I always thought. Just closed up to it. And he said, I just want you to do one thing. I want you to go home. And here's the scriptures for what I preached. Give me about 20 of them. I know that I was in danger when he gave me 20 of them. And you go home and you look them up and you ask the Lord. He said, don't you ask the Lord first. You ask him. And if it ain't scripture, don't believe it. In real calm manner. I'll never forget him doing that. And I said, well, all right. I still mad when I left. Well, I got in my room and said, Lord, I don't like that doctrine he just taught today, and I don't believe it. But if that's your word, show it to me. That was my mistake, I guess, wasn't it? If that's your word, show it to me. He'll show it to you. And I started reading, the Holy Spirit enlightened my eyes, and I saw it. And I saw it. Made me wish I was slow to speak and slow to wrath. A young preacher called me back in the summer, and I love this young preacher. He's so knowledgeable, and we was talking in the phone in the summer, and I was trying to encourage him in his work, and he started talking about the same teaching that made me mad, and he was mad. Tell me about it. I believe that teaching now. So I thought, what am I going to do with this, Lord? I said, I don't know how to handle this. Do I tell him that I hold to that position, or do I let this thing lay? And he, regular listener to the website, he going to hear it on there. You know what I did? I let him hear it on there and turned it over to the master. I did. I just said, now it's hard for me to do that because your spirit wants to engage immediately. Sometimes you just need to be calm and let the Lord handle things. He's seen it. About 4 months later, there's an email popped up on my end. I thought, he saw it. He saw it. He knows where I stand on it. And he wrote me 2 pages. He said, Jeff, I seen that you believe that. I told my wife, I can't believe Brother Jeff believes such a thing. But he said, I know this much. I know if you believed it, there had to be a reason for it. So I decided to look up the verses and ask the Lord. And by the time I got to the end of that, I see it, he says. And I want to thank the Lord for revealing that Bible truth to me. Nothing to see. I just got back out of the way. I knew he was a good young man. I knew he would seek, and the Lord showed him. Swift to hear. Slow to speak. Slow what else to? Slow to wrath. You get mad, you ain't going to see nothing. If you're willing to look, you'll see some things. He'll show you some things. That's your attitude towards the Word. You give it a good listen. You give it a good listen. And then you search the Scriptures to see whether it's so. Now, let me give you one quick thing. Verse 21, it says, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your soul. I found that when people that have professed faith are living in sin, they become cold to the Word. That's why it says to lay apart all filthiness and naughtiness, because it will affect your ability to listen. I've seen people come to this church that some just like feeding a newborn babe the scriptures from this pulpit. And then I've looked at them, and as I'm preaching, I notice things when I'm preaching. That's why I'm up on this high, lofty perch up here. And I'm looking at people, and I think, I can read people good. And I think, this person was so on the end of their seat listening, and now they're colder than December. And you know the first thing I think? There's sin somewhere there. There's something wrong there. They've drifted away from the Lord there. You see, you need to lay aside sin or it'll affect your ability to hear. It'll affect that. You got things in your life that don't belong there. If you don't repent of that, you'll get, remember the old blister illustration? You'll get calloused. You're just shoveling, you know. Like I said before, my hands used to be tougher than nails when I worked on the dock. But no, don't even start on it, Clint. I could shovel forever and not get calluses. I mean, not get blisters, I should say. But, you know, if you keep shoveling, if you keep it doing something, eventually that's going to get hard to where it don't bother you. If you keep doing things that you don't got no business doing, it'll get to where it don't bother you anymore. And your ears will shut to the book, too. That's why you need to lay it aside. That's to be your attitude towards the Word. Now let's move down to the last part, and we'll close out with this. I want you to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That's the attitude towards the Word. We looked at the new birth. We looked at our attitude. Now let's look at our duty towards the Word. Notice what it says in verse 22. We're to be doers of the Word. Man, I see a lot of talkers, but you don't see a lot of doers. Honestly. I think there just seems to be kind of a general apathy amongst God's people. They just wax cold and don't care. Brother Sean called it in a different way. He says being so root bound, so grounded in the world that you don't care about spiritual things. It says here, be ye doers of the word. Everybody say it, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, is like a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Let me tell you what the word will do. This word right here will reveal dirt in your life. It'll uncover it. That's why it's called a lamp and a light. It'll uncover things in your life that does not need to be there. You'll either hear it from this pulpit, or you'll hear it in a Sunday school class, or you'll hear it as you read it. It'll uncover dirt there. And you know what you need to do when you see dirt in your life? You need to clean it up. Father, this is in my life and don't need to be there. Forgive me for it. Get it out of there. But you need to be a doer. It doesn't do you any good to hear about the dirt if you don't wash it off. That's why it uses the illustration of the looking glass. If you got mud on your face and you look in the mirror and you say, yep, I got mud on my face, and you walk away and don't clean your face off, it didn't do you any good to look. The Word of God's like a mirror. It reveals things in your life that needs to go. That's why the Bible says profitable for instruction and reproof and correction. And it does that. But when you see the dirt in your life, you need to clean it up. How often do people say, well, yeah, I know I need to do that. And smile at me. Don't smile at me and say that. I know I should do this, or I know I should do that. See, that's not doing, that's just hearing. And you don't get the benefit of the blessing unless it says the man that is a doer shall be blessed in his deed. Blessed. I like that. Turn to Ezekiel 33. I'm moving pretty good. I'm just about done. That's the 10-minute warning. Ezekiel chapter 33. Watch this now. I've given this to you many times in the past, but it's a good illustration of what it means to hear and not do. I figure that Ezekiel was a pretty good speaker. And I'm going to tell you something about speaking before I go on. We put too much stock in how well we speak or how well things is done. You can speak good, but if it's not accompanied with the power of the Holy Spirit, nothing's going to happen anyhow. I think if you took Paul and you brought him down and put him in his pulpit, you wouldn't have been impressed with his pulpiteering ability. Matter of fact, the book of Corinthians says his speech was contemptible. He wasn't a great speaker. But when he preached with the power of the Spirit of the living God. And the Lord saved people through his messages. And the Lord touched people through his ministry. Put too much stock into the worldly means. And you need to study and you need to prepare with every ounce of strength in you. But when you go behind the pulpit or when you instruct people, you need to first make sure you do it. But you need to depend on the Holy Spirit to touch people's heart. Only He can show them things. Only He can make the new birth happen. It's not your great pulpiteering that does these things. See what I mean? Ezekiel must have been a good speaker, as I said. And it looked like everything was going so well at his day. Notice what it says. Thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee. Now, it doesn't mean talking bad against him. It just means they were talking about him by the walls and in the doors of the houses. And speak ye one to another, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word of the Lord. Come and hear what is the word of the Lord. Verse 31. And they come unto thee as my people cometh, and they sent before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts goes after covetousness. It looked good, Brother Sean. I mean, people were talking about Ezekiel and all the words that he was bringing about, and people were coming and hearing it, but God says, hey, don't get excited about that, Ezekiel. Don't let that get you too puffed up. They're not doing what you're saying. They're hearing, but they're not doing. Everybody see it? Back to the book of James. Let's close this out. You need to be a doer of the word. That's our duty to the word. When we hear it, we do it. Back to James chapter 1. We'll close her out today. As I said, the word will reveal dirt in your life that needs to be washed off. You agree? Now, sometimes when the word reveals the dirt, you know who gets to blame for that? The preacher. So if you're dirty, get rid of it. Wash it away. And how we do that after we're saved is through the means of confession, is it not? You're not going to be close to the Lord as long as there's sin in your life. You agree? Can two walk together except they be agreed? That's the big agreement. The Word will reveal truth in it too. Doctrine that you need to believe about your salvation that's so very important. It will reveal truth. It not only will reveal dirt, but it will reveal Bible truth. You know what the word doctrine means? Please tell me. What does the word doctrine mean? Bible teaching. Look it up. And what's the big popular statement? We need to get away from doctrine. You know what you just said? You need to get away from Bible teaching. Does that sound like God's the author of that? You need all the Bible teaching we can get. But this book will reveal things you need to believe. You know what you need to do when it reveals the truth? You need to believe them. You need to accept them. The Word will reveal duties that you need to obey. You know what you do when you hear the duties you should do? You should obey and you should do them. So it's not only the hearers of the word that is blessed, but it is the doers. About 5 years ago, I presented a message entitled, it was about worship services. And I give three words that started with a P. And these are three words is practices that you need to do in order to get the most out of a church service. Here's the first word. Number one, before you come, you need to prepare. You know who gets to, if you've ever taught a class or preached a sermon, you know that you get more out of that than the people that you're teaching. And the reason why that is because you did so much preparation for what you was getting ready to do. You prayed, you prepared, you studied, you asked God, and when you come through that door, you're ready to go. And it takes you 10 minutes to get people's minds ready to worship in a church service. You should prepare. I mean, you might spend an hour getting your hair ready. No, I don't spend that long, Sonny Ball, getting my hair ready. But anyhow, people spend an hour getting their hair ready and not 1 minute getting themselves ready spiritually to do the most important thing in this world they can do after that they're saved, and that is worship their King. you want to worship Him in spirit and in truth, you got to do a little prep for that. Do you agree? A little prep, a little bit of quiet time with the King. Getting sins out of the way, confess your sin, and come prepared. Number two, you got to participate when you get here. Don't sit like I used to. Think of the example. Well, I didn't get nothing out of the service. It's because you didn't put nothing into the service. You don't have a Bible. You don't pray when you come. You don't listen. You don't have a notepad to write things down. You ought to have all those things so that you can get something out of the book. Write it down and check it out. So not only do you need to prepare, but you need to participate. Then when you leave, the next period word, the next word that starts with a P, you need to practice what you just heard. Heard. You need to practice what you just heard. You come in to worship, you leave to serve. Isn't that how it is? You come in to hear and you leave to do. You came in to hear, you leave to what? Do. Let me ask you a question. What is it today that the Lord wants you to do, and you know it, and you've not done it? What is it that the Lord wants you to do, and you know it, but you've not done it? You'll find there's a lot of things there that you know to do and don't do it. The book of James says, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to them is a sin. It's a sin of omission. There is such a thing as a sin of omission. And we pray that that happened today. Thank you, Lord, and for the freedoms that we have and the blessings that we have.